Welcome to the Amazing with Grace podcast, a spiritually relevant space for people like you who want to be excellent but not perfect. I am your host, Dr. Q Perry, a board-certified and Christian psychologist based in Dallas, Texas. Although I want this show to be a helpful and inspirational resource for you, it is not meant to substitute for a relationship or treatment with a licensed mental health provider. For more information and additional resources, please visit our website at www.amazingwithgrace.com. Let's get into the show. Hey, y'all. Welcome to another episode of the Amazing with Grace podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. I wanted to start this episode by thanking everyone who has given me such wonderful feedback from the episodes that we have released so far. If there is something that we have not yet discussed that you think would be good for us to dive into, feel free to send me a DM on IG at Dr. Q Perry or going to the show's website at www.amazingwithgrace.com and clicking on the Dr. Q's Couch tab to send me an email. Also, don't forget to rate, subscribe, and share. In today's episode, we will be finishing up part two of our two-part episode on how to be a high-value Christian woman. If you have not yet had a chance to listen to part one, please go back and listen to it so that you can get the full details of what we covered. But a quick recap is we made the points that high-value women, according to the world, seem to be rooted in laws of attraction because you see terms like manifesting, attraction, energy, universe, and vibrations. And the emphasis was that as high-value Christian women, we don't need to do anything outside of what God has for us. We don't want to unknowingly open ourselves up to so-called spiritual things that are not really of the God that we serve. For numbers 1 and 2, we said that a high-value Christian woman is not only confident, but she is confident in God, and she knows that her value is found in her worth in Christ. Number 3, we said that a high-value Christian woman has high standards, but those standards are based on the Word of God. Number 4, a high-value Christian woman not only has boundaries, but those boundaries are also based on the Word of God, and she is not afraid to enforce those boundaries when needed. And number 5, not only is a high-value Christian woman nurturing and caring, but she's able to use her wisdom and discernment to be authentic in what she cares about, and it's not just rooted in the goal of trying to attract and keep a man. Again, that was just a quick summary of what we covered. For the full details of what we talked about, please go back and listen to part one. And today we will be diving into numbers 6 through 10 on how to be a high-value Christian woman. Number 6, a high-value woman, according to the world, takes care of her body and maintains her physical appearance. She works out, she dresses well, she eats right. And the idea is that a man will want to invest more in you when they see that you invest in yourself. A high-value Christian woman not only takes care of her body because she knows that her temple is important, but she does things differently. She dresses in a way that shows her worth. Now, I'm not talking about designer labels, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm saying she dresses in a way that shows what she thinks of herself and knows that being stylish does not automatically equate to substance. I can't tell you how many men have been very, very honest with me and open with what they think about some women or even the woman that they're with. They've said things to me like, she's pretty, but she's stupid. Or she looks good, she dresses well, but she's not marriage material. Or I like her body, but I already know that she's not going to be the woman I marry. Those are some very candid statements, but they're actually representative of what the person thinks of you. And so as high-value Christian women, we can't be so focused on maintaining our physical appearance that we actually don't even get the results that we want to get. A high-value Christian woman knows how to dress for the occasion, and when she's not sure, it's always better to be overdressed than underdressed. That's a little lesson I learned as I was reading Condoleezza Rice's book while I was doing my dissertation. She's a woman who I have admired, and in the book, she talks about her parents teaching her that it's always better to be overdressed than underdressed. Now, it doesn't mean that you wear formal ball gowns everywhere you go. It means that even when dressed casually or out with friends, you show that you've taken interest in putting forth effort into your appearance. And for those of you who are moms, you also put effort into the appearance of your children. A high-value Christian woman invests in making herself a well-rounded woman, not solely for the purposes of attracting a man. She builds and maintains her emotional and intellectual intelligence by reading, going to seminars, having healthy friendships, investing in counseling, and really going and doing the work. She also builds her spiritual core by cultivating an environment in her heart where she can develop or enhance the fruits of the Spirit, and most critically, increasing her wisdom for use in all situations. Wisdom teaches her how to navigate various situations and relationships. Rather than alluring a man and making herself physically irresistible to him, she prays for wisdom and focuses on discerning the spirit of the man to know if he's even worth attracting in the first place. It's okay and even necessary to take care of your outer body, but make sure that it's not to the detriment of your mind and soul so that you end up empty and lacking substance. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 of the NASB tells us how to cultivate inner beauty. It says, "Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God." The Passion Translation says, "Let your beauty come from your inner personality, not a focus on the external, for lasting beauty comes from a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is precious in God's sight and is much more important than the outward adornment of elaborate hair, jewelry, and fine clothes." All in all, a high-value Christian woman knows that her beauty comes from peace with God and herself. Number 7. According to the world standard, a high-value woman is a goddess full of feminine light and energy. She knows how to appeal to his senses by touching him in a way that is sensitive and loving. She strives to be a goddess who thinks, looks, and behaves in a way that is alluring to a man. The goal is to give off light, to make yourself irresistible and charming so that a man can't get enough of you. I think some women, even Christian women, seek to become goddesses because they see organized Christianity as a way to help keep women oppressed. And I understand and agree to an extent that some people have derogatory views of women and their value and place in Christianity. However, as high-value Christian women, we don't aim to have men view us as goddesses in order to show that we have power and value. God has already defined that. Instead, as high-value Christian women, we have to be cautious about having seductive charm with the wrong motives to get and keep a man. You want to be mindful of which senses that you're appealing to. Every man has a king in him, so don't just appeal to his physical nature. Appeal to his spirit and his mind. Something else to know as you are becoming a high-value Christian woman is that femininity is not only reserved for romantic relationships, but for other roles in your life, like your academic or professional career. One of the things that I struggle with this whole idea of feminine energy and light, is the assumption that being a successful woman means you have traits that are masculine, like being aggressive, being a leader, being assertive, planning, controlling outcomes, doing and achieving goals. There seems to be a negative connotation to a woman being successful. And some people are even saying you shouldn't try to get an education, start a business, have career goals, or be successful at things outside of romantic relationships because it makes you come across as masculine. I think there's a spirit behind dominating and controlling people that is not always attached to being successful. So as high-value Christian women, we must be careful how the enemy can make you question your drive and your achievement. Leadership is not being controlling. Being successful is not being dominating or overlooking your own or other people's emotions. I mean, that's one way to lead, but it's usually ineffective. And if it is effective, it's not sustainable. Look at the Proverbs 31 woman. I mean, I don't see anything masculine about the Proverbs 31 woman. She excelled and was effective in every area of her life. She knew how to lead her business and still have tenderness for her husband and children. High-value Christian women own their femininity in all areas of their life. She's not just a light shining to be a man magnet, but also to enhance the life of other people in the market, in her family, and with her friends and strangers. One way to discern the spirit at work in you is to notice if your, quote, feminine energy and light perks up when the man that you're interested in comes around. But when strangers or other people come around who you perceive as unable to give you what you want, you're just as disinterested and rude or dismissive as can be. Matthew 5:14 in the New Living Translation tells us that you are the light of the world. We are to point people to Jesus through our conduct and exhibition of the fruit of the Spirit, not just to attract what we want to get what we need out of a man and discard everybody else. A high-value Christian woman is influential because in that same chapter in verse 16, it says, "In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." As high-value Christian women, we have to be mindful of a spirit of manipulation and darkness at work being disguised as light, and remember that we stand out because of an inner glow from God. Number 8. According to the world, a high-value woman doesn't chase men because she knows that she has choices in dating, and she shows this by not doing things like texting him all day. You're supposed to behave in a way that makes a man chase you. She knows that when a man doesn't pursue her, she is to walk away. When he pulls away, she doesn't chase. Now, I don't think there's anything inherently bad about this approach, but a high-value Christian woman is broader than just romantic relationships. I can't stress that enough. Not only does she not chase men, she doesn't chase at all. We've all been there, so we have to think about this on a deeper level. Stop and ask yourself, who or what am I chasing and why? Do I think that whatever I'm chasing or whoever I'm chasing will make me happy? Am I chasing a man, a job, having a baby, having a smaller figure, having fame, money, likes, cars or clothes? Whatever it is, don't judge yourself. The point I'm trying to make is that chasing has an element of anxiety, and the root of it is lack of trust. Oftentimes, we trust God in one area, but we don't trust him in all areas. There's a podcast that I've been listening to for the last, I'd say probably month or two, is Grace Over Grind. It's a podcast with Shay Bynes, so shout out to her. One of the things that I have gotten from this podcast that I just love, 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 and I have plastered it all over my passion planner, is letting God be the God of the outcomes. As a high-value Christian woman, we don't have to chase people. We don't have to chase opportunities because we do our very best and then we trust God to be the God of the outcomes. One of my favorite Pinterest quotes is, "A woman who walks in purpose doesn't have to chase people or opportunities. Her light causes people and opportunities to pursue her." Now, I've added my own twist to it. A woman who walks in purpose doesn't have to chase people or opportunities. Her godly light causes people and opportunities to pursue her. Number 9. According to the world standards, a high-value woman is mysterious. She's not open about her feelings. It doesn't mean that she lies, but she doesn't tell a man how much she likes him every time that she communicates with him. As I was preparing for the show, I looked up some synonyms for mysterious, and I got secretive, baffling, and obscure. To me, those have a dark and deceptive tone to them. As high-value Christian women, she doesn't have to be mysterious. She's discreet. Proverbs 11:22, the NASB version says, "As a ring of gold and a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion." Now, what does all of that mean? A high-value Christian woman is not only discreet in how she dresses, but also in what she says and does and how she interacts with other people. When she first meets a man, she doesn't spill her entire history to him in the first few conversations. It's not about being secretive. It's about pacing your conversations to have discernment to know if this is a person who is even trustworthy to know intimate details of your life in the first place. She doesn't tell him everything, but she leaves room for him to remain curious to explore her. Men often become bored quickly with women because they spill everything there is to know about themselves, and they've given him everything there is to you within the first month. High-value Christian women should not only be discreet when dealing with men, but to everyone. She's friendly and authentic, but she's not so casual and transparent with everyone where everyone knows all of her personal business. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this in the workplace and at school, where a person is very casual and open about sharing all of their personal business, but then it ends up backfiring. What ends up happening is the more that people know about your personal life, sometimes they start decreasing the value of your professional expertise because they have judgments about how you live your personal life. So I would encourage high-value Christian women to start using some discretion, not only just in romantic relationships, but in all of their interactions. This also includes written communication. So a high-value Christian woman does not post all of her business online unless God has specifically called her to a ministry or career lifestyle that requires that level of exposure and intimacy. Now, I'm in no way saying that you shouldn't market your products or services. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about oversharing. Sit down and really ask yourself, why do I want people to know everything there is to know about me from looking at social media pages or at my friends' social media pages? And do I have any more depth to me when people meet me in person? All in all, a high-value Christian woman does not have to be mysterious, but discreet. Having discretion shows that you're trustworthy with delicate information, including your own and that of other people. Number 10, and finally, according to the world standards, a high-value woman controls her emotions. Surprisingly, I mostly agree with this, but I do think we have to be careful because this could be interpreted as never showing emotions. I think a lot of times women may struggle with showing emotions for fear that they might look weak or too emotional. Here's what I'll say about this one. High-value Christian women should be wise in their emotional investments. So she does not post rants online or through text message and then have to come back and do damage control. She is graceful with her words and her reactions. Proverbs 29:11, the HCSB version says, "A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man holds it in check." I think this is a very good scripture to get deep down into our spirit, because it doesn't mean that she never gets mad. It doesn't mean that she acts guarded and disinterested. It means that you feel your emotions, but then you filter them through the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit will give you discernment on when to express yourself. There's a series that I love, The Crown, not just because I'm an Anglophile, but because I study the queen. A queen is poised, and what I appreciate about the way that they have portrayed the queen in all of the episodes and the seasons is, despite all of the turmoil and the uncertainty and pressures and rumors and ridicule that the queen faced, she handled her emotions privately, gathered her thoughts, and then she responded in a way that honored her covenant to God and the people she was called to serve. Now that, I think, is definitely a woman worthy to be praised. In this series, the crown is what guided the queen's decision, not her emotions, which, as we all know, they are fickle and ever-changing. The queen demonstrates the epitome of poise and grace and elegance and sophistication. High-value Christian women know their role, and they do not fear somebody else taking their spot. Let me end with this powerful quote by Kavita Ramdas, who said, "We need women who are so strong they can be gentle, so educated they can be humble, so fierce they can be compassionate, so passionate they can be rational, and so disciplined they can be free." I love this quote because I think it just summed up everything that we just talked about of how to become a high-value Christian woman. Let us move on to Dr. Q's couch. This person says, Everyone's Christian journey or spiritual journey is different. What is so wrong with me using the laws of attraction to attract the man I want? Here's my answer for this one. There's nothing wrong with your desire to have a mate, and I totally agree that everyone's spirituality is very personal, as it should be. It's not cookie cutter or a one size fits all, because God designed us all uniquely by putting His fingerprint on us that shows up differently in our personalities, our desires, gifts, and physical appearances, and things like that. Here are some questions that you might find to be more helpful in answering. Why am I a Christian who wants to implement things rooted outside of Christianity to get my desires and needs fulfilled? Does it indicate that I don't trust God's ways? Are my efforts at manifestation and attraction an attempt to take things in my own hands because I think God is moving too slow? Think of it this way. There's a favorite pizza place that I love to go to because you can go there and tell them what you want on your pizza, take it home, and bake it. Let's say you and I go in and we go in to order two pizzas. On mine, I want chicken and beef with light sauce. On yours, you tell them that you want the works. You want extra meat, extra veggies, and extra sauce. The assumption is that when we both take the pizzas home, no matter what the toppings are, there are certain ingredients in the dough that will support the toppings. But what if when your pizza gets done, you notice that it tastes sweet? And you find out that your dough was actually the dough for a donut instead of pizza. The illustration here is that the results might seem sweet, but the proper ingredients for the type of pizza you really wanted were not there. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the preferences and the toppings, but the foundation isn't right. As we move into our Dear God segment, I really want us to go through and answer those questions in our quiet time, writing the answers in our prayer journals, and see what it is that God reveals to us in our time. If you would like a free download of a prayer journal, please go to my website, www.amazingwithgrace.com, and click on the resources tab, and you will see the link for the free download of the Dear God journal page. Y'all, I cannot tell you how significant prayer journaling has been in my life. I've been doing it for many, many years. And a lot of times when I go back and read it, I'm able to see the growth in my emotions. I'm able to see the growth in my spirituality. And it has just been a phenomenal way for me to track my desires, my prayer requests for myself, for my son, for my family and friends. And to see the hand of God move on my life. I cannot tell you how critical this has been. So it's definitely something that I highly recommend if you're not sure how to get started with prayer. Writing your prayers is a wonderful, wonderful way to deepen your relationship with God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for another day in your presence. Thank you for the opportunity for us to spend some time together on this podcast episode to figure out what it is that you have to say to us about becoming high-value Christian women. Help us to know that as Christian women, we are loved by you and we are complete in you. We don't have to look to the world to try other things to attract and manifest and manipulate just to get a man. Father God, help us to know that our identities are more than just our relationship status, that you have so much more for us and you have called us to be awesome women of God, not just somebody's girlfriend, not just somebody's mother, not just somebody's wife, but we are called to be awesome women of God. Help us to reject the tendency to think that you're holding out on us. Help us to identify areas of our lives where we are walking in ways that are not demonstrating our true worth in Christ. Give us peace in knowing that despite the ridicule that we might face for the standards that you have set for us, that we are still precious in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. That is our episode for today. Some additional resources that I think will be really helpful to you on your journey to becoming a high-value Christian woman are a Bible study by Dr. Canayo on the YouVersion app. It's the Bible study called Esther. It is a wonderful Bible study. I highly, highly recommend it. So again, that's the Esther Bible Plan by Dr. Canayo on the YouVersion Bible app. And then there's also the Queenology book by Bishop R.C. Blakes. And I will have all of the scriptures that I've referenced for today and all of the resources that I've referenced for today. Enjoy the rest of your week and take care.